What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL. Joined, as always, by my main man, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, what's going on, brother?
Man, it is a beautiful, beautiful day. Just watching all the guys getting into camp today. I can feel the energy flowing.
Yeah, no, it is
getting close, man.
That's it. Like, we are getting I think I hit the wrong one. Bam! Check that one out. That's the correct one to go with.
That is the correct one to go with.
But no, like, yeah, we are definitely it's football, you know. Especially for some people would say, oh, well, they're still a month or so away from playing a game. But for anybody watching a show like this show, it's football season. Like, we're back, you know. There are bodies in the building. We're fixing to get, like, videos, and we're fixing to get, you know, all sorts of, you know, media coming out of the, you know, out of Flowery Branch. Me and you will be up there on Saturday checking it out. So if anybody is up there Saturday, make sure y'all say what's up. We are getting, like, news left, right. I mean, it just broke 53 seconds ago that Justin Herbert of the Los Angeles Chargers has signed a 5-year, $262.5 million contract.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. That's more than Jalen Hurts. That's more than Lamar Jackson. Like, outside of, I think, Deshaun Watson and Mahomes, like, I think AAV, as you were talking about earlier, I think he becomes the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. And he hasn't even went to a playoff yet.
No.
So, here's the real deal. Something you brought up a second ago. If Desmond just plays decent and sticks as your starting quarterback, 3 or 4 years from now, you're looking at something along those lines, or even higher by then. So, like I said, a lot to get into today.
Yes.
So I guess might as well just get into it. So, like I said, we finally got to start seeing some stuff, pictures and all that jazz, players walking into camp. We got the, the montage video about, you know, training camp with the, you know, Steve Weiss voiceover and, you know, Arthur Smith saying it's going to be hard to make this, you know, roster. And it's a good feeling. And it's that time of year, you know. Training camp is here, and it's awesome.
Absolutely is.
So, I guess, let's see. We'll add this to, we'll go here with the, so, first one up, got to see a dad bod, you know, daddy, Jake Matthews walking in, looking cut and swole.
Yeah, he's looking swole, and then we got Mr. Eddie Goldman over here, who's got the IT, you know, the iPhone 14 Pro Max that looks like
a Tic Tac,
like an iPhone 3 or something.
But like, it's interesting. Like, this is like this picture right here. I want to hang with this one for just a minute. The thing, this is the first time we've actually seen Eddie Goldman. Because I don't think he made it to camp last year, did he? Before he retired?
No, he didn't.
No, like we 13 days after we signed him, he retired. He didn't even make it to camp.
Yep.
And so this is the first time we see Eddie Goldman. So that's encouraging right there, right?
Yep.
Oh,
absolutely.
Hold on.
This man.
Hold on. Andrew Bato says, oh, what's up, E3 Rise Up, JR, no anime shirt, fam? I was so close. It was a debate, okay? I had my NWO shirt on. And there was something on it, so I had to change shirts, and this is just the one I grabbed. Anyway, sorry.
NWO is not an anime shirt either.
No, it's not. I mean, yeah, like I had, the choice between the My Hero and the Naruto, but yeah, I had the NWO shirt on, but you know, it's like, you know, you always gotta pay attention. You know, you never know.
I wish I still had a shirt I bought. It was like 20 years ago. It might still fit. Probably Ooh. Not.
20 years ago. That's a stretch for me.
But it was a pretty big shirt at the time, like just big on me. And it was this really nice, I got it from Hot Topic.
It was this
really nice, like Dragon Ball Z something on the back with like Goku or something. It was a button up shirt. And I'm like, man, I kind of wish I still had that shirt.
Mad Chatter says, who'd be the mystery man joining the Outsiders, referring, you know, the NWO. You don't ever know. You don't ever know who might join the Outsiders. Could be Hogan. You never know who could do it. I think that was it on the like still photos, wasn't it? Was there any more?
Yeah, it was just this came from Mr. Damski.
Yes, sir.
And I just saw this, and I just liked his comment of like, hold up, swole Jake Matthews and pissed off Eddie Goldman. Damn, this is going to be trench warfare this year.
That's right.
I like it.
That's what we want. That's what we want. Man,
it's like you see this part right while going away.
Hold on, go back. Yeah, I'm going.
You
back.
See this part right here. It's like Jesus Christ.
That right there is probably bigger than my bicep is. Like, I know. Just that little part. That man's, but this is the fun time of year, right? This is the time of year where, you know, hope springs eternal, you know, as far as we haven't taken any snaps yet and everything is still within reach and the potential is still there, you know?
Everybody, every fan, I mean, obviously there are probably some that don't, but by and large, in every fan base, a lot of people right now, everybody feels like this could be our year.
Right.
And that's the nature of the NFL too. The nature of the NFL is any year it could literally happen if things just click, right? Yep. If things just click just right.
Yep.
And because of the nature of football with, yeah, there's more games now than there used to be, but still there's only 17 attempts.
Right.
You know, with baseball, it's kind of hard to like get lucky as a team. I mean, you can, but you have to play well for extended periods of time to be able to make it to the playoffs for one, and then even then get to the series, and then winning the series. It's really, really hard. So the cream generally rises to the top.
Yep.
In the NFL, like you could have a really like 2/3 of a season that you go on a tear the second half of the season and squeak your way into the playoffs, and then just you got momentum and everything. And then next thing you know, you're in the Super Bowl. It's like who thought this team was going to be in the Super Bowl this year?
Nobody. Oh yeah, I mean like especially you think of a few years back with Cincinnati coming off of a 2-win season going to the Super Bowl, like. It could happen.
Yep.
Let's see. I'm with Kenfolk Reese there. He says, just hoping we make it out of camp healthy. Yes, we've already had, like the NFL in general has already had a handful of scares with, who was it? It was the
CJ Gardner-Johnson, I know. Yep,
CJ Gardner-Johnson. Turned out not to be anything major, they said. But still, you had a couple scares. And then it was – somebody had a knee cleanup, Kadarius Toney for the Chiefs.
Yep.
And then you had Jameson Williams, even though he suspended 6 games, seems like he tweaked his knee. So that's going to keep him out of training camp. So, yes, we definitely hope that we get out of it very healthy. You're right, the Mad Chatter. Hogan would never betray WCW. I mean,
he's never.
Never, never. He is. Never. Rock solid America till we die. No.
Yes.
That was like, man, that was my, you know, freaking, that was probably some of my favorite times growing up. It was in the NWO and in
the Hollywood Hogan era.
All that, man, all that stuff. And then they branched off and went with the Wolfpack, which was the shirt I had because it was red and black. Good stuff. now, yeah, Nyheim Hines.
Yeah,
I was already
the crazy like ACL tear, and it was while he was like relaxing on a jet ski, and some other person in a jet ski ran into him.
Yeah, somebody else hit him, which is crazy, absolutely crazy. All right, keeping on, keeping on. Michael Pruitt is back in the building. It was really interesting. Yep. You know, you were getting some comments from beat writers talking about a comment from AJ Terrell saying it was good to see Michael Pruitt this morning. And I was like it was like that record scratch, you know, moment. Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, why is Michael Pruitt back in the building? And yep. Obviously, you know, about an hour or so later, you got the news that we did re-sign Michael Pruitt to add to the tight end room. So now your tight end room this year is Pitts, Janu Smith, and Michael Pruitt. That it was like, yes, Parker Hesse is there, but I view Parker Hesse more as like the H-back, you know, the fullback, the tight end. You know, he's the movable piece. So, because like Tony Wright has, you know, tight end room. He says
Atlanta
has, you know, at the tight end position, Janu, Michael, and Parker. So Tony is, I'm assuming, like slotting Kyle Pitts as a wide receiver in this scenario. Yep. I still think you're going to get like tight end, like Kyle Pitts is still going to be a tight end. Like I could be wrong. But I don't know if y'all realize this, but we were the only team last year that ran out a 14 personnel package. That means we ran out there four tight ends last year. It only happened once or twice, but like Arthur Smith loves his tight ends. So I don't see. Yeah.
Parker Hesse, future fullback.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, I think that your three tight end is going to be a more prominent, you know, feature, especially in the way that they have the run game, especially in the concepts of we want to be able to, if any of y'all by now have listened to the Play Callers podcast, one of the things in the early part of the episodes, we're talking about Sean McVay taking 11 personnel and running 12 personnel type plays because he had Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, and they were able to do the blocking of 12 personnel with 11 personnel.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that really had me thinking like Arthur Smith is going in a sense the other direction. Like he's going to take 12 and 13 personnel and then at times do 11 personnel things with it. Mm-hmm. When you have tight ends that can run like and run and catch like, you know, Kyle Pitts and Janu Smith, when you have running backs that can line up in the slot and perform like admirably there, you can now take your heavy personnel, dictate what you know, package, or you know, dictate what personnel that the defense answers you with, and then start doing a bunch of different things with it. So,
I was actually starting to be convinced that we weren't going to bring Michael back.
I was interested because, you know, it was, you know, we had brought in Janu, and when we had brought in Janu with, you know, Pitts, Janu, and another year with Hesse, I thought maybe that's it. You know, maybe that's what they were going to ride with. And that may be like, we don't know what kind of contract, you know, Michael's signing. And you don't know, like, just because he's in right now doesn't guarantee him a spot. But no. It was good to see him back because he did have four touchdowns last year with the Falcons. And he had developed decent chemistry with Ridder.
Yeah.
You know,
he looked good when Ridder was in the game. Like when it was him and Ridder, like once Ridder took over, Michael Pruitt became a valid target.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that's literally what, you know, that's literally what it comes down to. And so when I saw that, I'm like, hey, this guy we could probably bring back on like relatively cheaply. He's a decent, you know, he's a good weapon to have as like a, you know, a safety valve kind of guy, you know. And he's a guy that, you know, again, you have guys that have enough talent so that they can break big plays because everybody's focusing on the big, big talent, you know, and, well, and that's what I think Mike Hole is going to be, is going to be a guy. He's not going to get a ton of catches.
No.
He's not going to get, he may get another four or five touchdowns this year just because everybody's so worried about Pitts and Drake and
every day on body else.
Everybody else.
King has got a point here because I know we have a run game, but we have to get Pitts in the game. He needs the ball in his hands. We started off slow before. But we need to give Pitts the ball. That's my only concern. I think that by bringing in Janu, by bringing back Michael, if those two guys stick, I think that's going to allow Pitts to get more, one-on-one type looks, splitting him out wide. I do think that because what we forget, especially, from rookie year to last year, Pitts has 1,000-yard receiving. He played a lot of X, receiver. And I think that's, what you want to get back to with him. And you can now do that, more confidently with guys like Janu, with guys like Pruitt, and Hesse and those guys in there. So hopefully that's what they can kind of get back to. He also adds, what's Franks's job? Apparently blackmailing front offices and coaching staff. I don't know what Franks's job.
Every team needs a good water boy.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. I have no clue. Tony says Mac Hollins at number 3. Oh, you're still going down the list. I love Tony's lip. Yeah, he gets me. Yep. Anyway. Okay. So real quick, before we get too much further down, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping, so to speak. We've officially announced it on Twitter, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out here now. If y'all are in the Marietta area on the 19th of August, it's a Taco Mac at Barrett Parkway and Dallas Highway. There's the address right there. A good bit of some of your favorite Falcon content creators are meeting up, and hopefully y'all can, if y'all are in the area, y'all can join. If you don't recognize some of the faces, that's the guys from Out of Your Falcon Mind, Twisted Torch, friend of the show, Big Low Country, Smitty Sports Machine, Ronnie, which is some of y'all may know him on Twitter's Fleek, representing the New Millennium Falcon podcast. And then Uncle Steve's Lounge. We will all be getting together at the Taco Mac on the 19th at 7 p.m. So if y'all are free, come by, say hi. We're going to be sitting there chopping it up, talking Falcons, and just having a good time. We'll be reminding you as we get closer. So this is just kind of like the first little, hey, we're doing a thing.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, if some of you guys can make it out, love to meet everybody. Definitely going to meet some people that I haven't met before or really even hung out with in any kind of capacity.
Yeah.
I've met Big Low. I've met, I've been on the Out of Your Falcon Mind podcast. We've had Fleek on, haven't we?
We
had Fleek on.
And I'll probably, before the season starts, do, a big round table type thing as well, with a handful of people, a handful of these other creators. But just kind of, like I said, initially wanted to throw that out there, let y'all know that we are planning a proverbial meet and greet. So, all right, now that that is done, we keep it on moving. All right, this is kind of sad, not unexpected, but, a little sad. Caleb Huntley was released today with a failed physical designation, not anything to do with his ACL. So it wasn't that his ACL.
His Achilles, right?
Achilles, my bad.
Yeah.
ACL from Hines earlier, sorry. Achilles. So it had nothing to do with his Achilles. So if something else wasn't up to what the team was hoping for, they didn't really give us any information there. But he had an uphill battle to climb to begin with. when you drafted Bijan, as we talked about before, that they're raising the floor of talent. And yes, Caleb Huntley did some nice things for us, you know, but it was a deal where there just wasn't going to be enough carries to go around. You had, you know, really good showing from Algier. You still have Cordell Patterson, who's going to be a chess piece, and you drafted Bijan, who you don't put that kind of draft capital in if you're not planning on using the guy.
Well, it's just unfortunate timing. Like they, you know, everybody's like, why couldn't you put him on the PUP list? Well, if you, the timing of when he's supposed to be ready is like August sometime, right? And if you put him on the PUP list now, you can't put him on the PUP list later,
right?
Going into the season. But if you don't put him on the PUP list, then he counts against your 90-man roster, meaning you're down a guy for training camp. You don't want that. I could see this guy, him being a guy that they bring back at a later date. But right. I was not aware that it was – I knew it was failed physical. I didn't know if it was failed physical because they were expecting him to be – at a further along in his rehab, and maybe it wasn't responding properly, and that's the reason why he failed the physical. But if it's unrelated to his Achilles, and he's just like really badly out of shape or something, then that's kind of a, you know, that's an on you kind of deal.
That's what it kind of sounded like, that maybe he came into camp a lot more, at least like out of shape or what have you, but definitely wasn't where he needed to be. And so now what I saw earlier was, it was, I think it was Aaron Freeman was tweeting about it. Let me see if I can find it. Yes. He was talking about how the designation was different on, there it is. Maybe Josh Kendall. Maybe he was tweeting about it. Let's see. Nope. See, when I need the tweets, I can't find them. I should just. I said before I was going to start taking screenshots and put them in a file so that I would. Okay. Let's see. I'm not finding. Somebody was saying something about how the move here didn't guarantee that he was going to revert back to the injured reserve list, which is what happens sometimes. They outright released him. Now they could bring him back, you know, obviously if they want to, but the way they went about it was not a not your typical release, and then he reverts to IR or anything like that. Here's an extremely important question here. Michael B says, JR, I've noticed you have lost some weight. Looking svelte. since last year. He says, what have you been doing to lose weight? Honestly, eating better, like straight up. It's amazing what you put in, you know, directly results into how you look. Like today, for instance, my breakfast, and if you'd have told me that this was going to be my breakfast a year ago, I would have hit you with something. I now wait until I'm actually hungry in the morning, where I used to have a set time. This is when I eat breakfast. Now I wait until I'm actually hungry. And when you do that, you don't need nearly as much to eat. But anyway, I had hummus and carrots for breakfast by choice. And like I said, you'd have told me that a year ago, I'd have laughed you out of there. I'm like, look, that does not sound like biscuits and gravy or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit or anything of that nature, which was my normal go-to.
I mean, I've done like, you know, aren't like we get like these, I can't remember what, they're basically oranges, but it's little tiny ones that are really
easy. Clementines.
Yeah, I'd have like a couple of those for breakfast some mornings. You know, like I don't feel like making eggs or sausage. I don't feel like a bowl of cereal. And so I'm like, grab me a couple of these things. I'll sit down at my desk while I'm working and peel them and
keep them moving. So yeah, it's literally just been changing my diet is all that I've done so far. So let's see. MJ says, don't lie. We already know you're going to be our surprise sign before the start of season, getting into football shape. Now, look, if my football shape is like the actual shape of a football,
he is getting into football shape.
Football shape.
Yeah.
Point, Ken Falk. We kind of opened up earlier talking about the extensions and what that could look like for Ridder. Dallas did just extend Diggs with a pretty good size contract, 5 years, $95 million, I think is what I saw. Do we expect AJ's contract to look like that? It's possible. Diggs has a lot more interceptions, so if for an edge rusher it's sacks, even though there's a lot more to edge rushing than just sacks. But for a corner, it's pass breakups and interceptions, mainly interceptions. So if AJ really cranks it up into gear and gets a lot of interceptions this coming season, there's a good possibility that it could look something like that. Heyo, check you out there. Dre Henderson.
Appreciate it, Dre.
The Taints signed 36-year-old Jimmy Graham. The team is throwing a poo at the wall and see what sticks. Yeah, that joker ain't played football in 2 years.
I know. And I saw that. I'm like, wait, didn't he retire? Like, what happened?
Dude, that's crazy to me. To sign, a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, signing him to a contract. That's
Look. I get he was a real big player when he was here or when he was with them. And I get that. If you want to do sign him to a one day thing so he can retire as a Saint, I don't, it's a Saint, so it's probably some dumb move that they would do. But either way, that's fine. But to actually sign this guy and expect anything from him,
I don't know.
I mean, we'll see.
Yep. Say, what's going on there, Myers? He says, Shalom, Christ is King. Yes, he is. And for me and my family, he is definitely that. And so for others, he may not be, but for me and mine, he definitely is. Let's see. Fred Butt says, how many touchdowns do y'all think Ridder will throw? I'm hard-headed on Ridder.
What you got? It took him 4 games to get his first
touchdown.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's a good chance he's going to be in the 24-25 range.
Yeah, Ken Folk says 26-28. I say
24-25 because think this we're going to do a lot of if this offense is really clicking, we're going to do a lot of running it down people's throats and either getting breakaway runs for touchdowns, or we're going to get down inside the red zone and then we're just going to pound away at somebody and you're just going to get a lot of rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite a bit of rushing touchdowns. Myself. And so I think, somewhere in the 20 to 25 range, I think would be good for his essentially rookie year starting. I think would be a good mark. All right. Moving right along, Calais Campbell ended up on the NFI list, the non-football injury list. And that was kind of a little bit of a head scratcher. Now that doesn't mean much of anything, because you can be activated off the NFI at any time. Could legitimately be activated off it tomorrow. But and this could be for anything. And obviously, I don't think it was anything serious because he was talking to the media today.
Yeah.
And so far, Kyle Pitts hasn't even talked to the media yet. So he was out there, you know, answering questions about, oh, if a QB is nice, are D linemen, you know, easier on them? You know, the thing from the QB.
I haven't watched the Netflix either. Show yet, but I heard about it. But yeah, like if he was any kind of real injury, my guess is maybe twisted his ankle, or it could just be like
he tweaked his back tying his shoes. He has been in the league for 16 years. Who knows?
Yeah. And it could just be, it's not anything. They're just giving him time. They're just making it an official way, maybe for contractual reasons or something. Who knows? Whereas, like, this helps him financially at some point. So who knows? But it didn't seem injured. We'll probably find out more tomorrow when Coach
Arthur
talks to us. But I don't foresee it being a big deal.
You see this down here? Holy free holies, Batman. This man says, pound for pound, keep it going. Watching from Seoul, South Korea. Holy peace.
Salute you, sir, man.
No doubt. Wow. That has to be the furthest away that anybody has deemed to watch us. That is insane. Man. Okay, now I need to know why you're in Seoul, South Korea. Now, I'm curious now. Anyway, Willie Doc, we appreciate you greatly. Hoping the man's over there. There it is.
Willie!
He said, shouldn't we have a fourth back to take the place of Avery Williams? Campbell is just resting. I am cool with that. I think, I'm not worried at all about Campbell. And it wouldn't surprise me if we did, you know, brought in a fourth back depending on, you know, if nothing else for camp.
Yeah. They'll probably bring in some undrafted guys fill out the roster for preseason games.
Let's see. This is the second time I've seen the name Carlos Williams pop up. So now I need to go to the Atlanta Falcons roster and make sure, like Carlos Washington, and make sure that I'm just not forgetting, because I have forgotten things before. Team. That's what I need. Got to look around my pole here. Let's see. Position. Bam, bam. Running backs. Yep. Somebody by the name of Carlos Washington Jr. He is 5'11", 220, 24-year-old rookie out of Southeast Louisiana. So.
I do remember that name now popping up at some point.
Yeah, I think I do remember. Jim has chimed back in. He said he is a Falcoholic on a military assignment in South Korea. Heck yeah. Well, dude, awesome. Come home safely. Thank you for doing
absolutely. That. Absolutely. And thank you for your service, sir.
That's right. That's right. We appreciate it. Absolutely. All right. So, Campbell on injury or on the NFI does not concern me whatsoever. And it shouldn't really concern
not right now. I mean, like, look, if some crazy stuff starts coming out and we still are not seeing him, okay, then we can start like wondering what's going on. But right now, it's the right beginning of camp. The guy's 16 years in the NFL. He's a vet. Right. He was there for the OTAs. You know, it wasn't like he wasn't there for the OTAs. Mm-hmm. So he was there. They may just be like vet treatment. Who knows?
And I keep like harping on this in a sense. He spent time talking to the media today.
Yeah. When you're injured, you don't talk to the media.
Right. When there's something up with you, you don't talk to the media. You stay like I said, Kyle Pitts did not talk to the media today. And, you know, it may be a couple of weeks before we actually see Pitts. You know, it'd be interesting to see if he actually when he practices. Fred is saying that, you know, he has family issues. I haven't heard that. So Fred, if you can tell me who put that out there. I haven't seen that posted about them. But so we stated before that, you know, me and Jonathan, we will be at camp on Saturday morning. Anybody else going to camp at this junction? If so, what day are y'all going to be there? Do you plan on being there more than one day? I know we've got, I think Thursday, some of the aforementioned guys who are going to be at our meetup. Out of your Falcon mind, John Yates, I think, will be there. Fleek will be there. So keep an eye out for them if y'all watch their stuff. And I think Lowe might be there too.
I know. Well, I've seen that he's saying he's going to be there. I couldn't remember if he gave a date or not.
Right. King Seven says definitely Saturday. All right, King. Now, look, you got to be nice to me if you see me now.
Yeah, no. don't, you know.
King's a big dude, man. You can't look. Once I actually saw King of Prussia, I was like, oh, man, I got to tone down my sarcasm. He might pop my head like a zit. Okay, cool. John's saying that Mike and them will be there Thursday for sure. And also, they're about to go on here soon, but wanted to drop by. I think they got a special guest tonight. The gentleman from, I'm going to draw a blank on, I think he's from Sports Illustrated or maybe, who's joining them tonight. So after we get done here, jump up. Kincaid, John Kincaid, maybe? I don't know if that's his name.
I was thinking Flick.
No, not Flick. We need to get Flick back on before the season starts.
Yeah, he'd be busy then.
I know, right? I was trying to, like, he seems like he was busy, and then he's like dropped off, like not dropped off, but you know, seemed like he took a break there for a bit. But yeah, let's see. All right, let's get into the Q&A chat section. We've been doing that kind of anyway. So I just
want to say I cannot wait for Thursday to get here for the simple fact that I can't wait to start reading observations.
Right.
I cannot wait. I want to hear, you know, I want to see, like, because I won't be there.
Kennedy.
Scott. Sorry. Kennedy.
Yeah, Scott Kennedy.
Scott. Sorry.
Yes.
The, you know, like, hearing from, like, the pros that got, you know, the media, but also I want to hear from John and Mike. I want to see what they say. I want to hear from Big Low. I want to see what they say. You know, I want to see what other people think. And then we'll go out there Saturday and we'll take that information, absorb the information that we get, and we'll, you know, maybe have a bit better idea of like what the team's looking like, at least the vibe of the team or something like that. But, man, I am like, I almost like can't contain the excitement that's going on right now. I want it to be Thursday already.
Like there was a part of me that was like super disappointed that we had the rookie show up last week and then we got like nothing like all week from, I don't know if they were just in classes or like not actually on the field or anything, but we got like nothing from the week that the rookies were there. And I was like, man, you know, I wanted to hear how like Bergeron was progressing, or, you know, what did Bijan, you know, look like? Well, you know, who else was, but I guess, like I said, they were probably in classrooms all week before the vets got there.
Now I will say, I didn't get all the way through, but I listened to a little bit of like, it looks like Lindstrom, Drake London. I can't remember who the third guy, cause I didn't get there yet, but I heard a little bit from Lindstrom and then it got to Drake London and I heard him talking about how like, Him and the receivers had gotten together with Ritter, and somebody asked him, like, you know, how often do you think it's happened? He's like, more times I can count on my hands and toes. Right. So they've been putting in the work. Everybody, you know, wherever Desmond's at, they're at. Wherever they're at, Desmond's at. Like, whether they're in the building, they're off-site somewhere. They've done it in multiple locations of just getting together, trying to get everybody on the same page, just get everybody, you know, get that feeling between the quarterback and the wide receivers, get that stuff down. So that's encouraging to me that it's happening that often. Cause I'm not saying that it didn't happen that often in other off seasons.
Oh yeah. I mean, you had
or anything like that.
Yeah. But had Ryan taking guys out to California and doing.
Yeah. But I don't know how often they even outside of that, like, yeah, right. they went out of town and Ryan did all that stuff to get everybody together. Did they do that every year? Did they do it every year where they got together a whole bunch of times or whatever?
I remember one year, I think it was Hooper's second year, he talked about like he like during the off season he showed up at Ryan's house almost like daily, and you know bugged him to you know go throw or whatever. So, but yeah, I think yeah, King says it here, you know, Drake and Ritter have been locked in. I know I've read more than once people comment that like team wise, Ritter and London, you know, because they came in together, are, you know, almost like, you know, best friends. Like,
yeah,
I've heard that thrown around more than once. So
that's like Lindstrom and McGarry.
Right. Yep. Those two guys are, you know, those two guys are like almost joined at the hip in a sense. So,
Info Priest, I just want to say appreciate that.
Yeah, cool. And if you're not following, please do.
Yeah, absolutely.
you can see my daily ramblings on Twitter or X or whatever the heck it's called nowadays. And like, I hope it don't go down in flames, because if it goes down in flames, then I don't know what else I'm gonna do. I don't really mess with any other social media. I'm an old dude who don't really joke around with that. You know, I guess I'll have to get on Threads or something. I don't know. Anyway. Let's see. Like Dre Murphy says, that he's ready to see some DB battles. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, we had talked about that in our, battleground video that we put out last weekend. Trying to read comments and talking at the same time doesn't always work. It's not great. Here, I'm gonna throw that up for you. There you go. Ken Folk. You can all throw that up for just a minute. You can follow us there. Anyway, the battleground video, we talked about the DB battles, and that's one that is going to be very interesting. Like, that's one of the ones that I'm looking at. Like, you know, who takes a hold of the Nickelback spot? Like, fan favorite is D. Alford, but does Clark Phillips come in and just really – you wrench that away from him? Does Mike Hughes, who is, you know, reported to be signed to be in that nickel position, you know, does he come in and absolutely put a stamp on it? You know, that's one of the more interesting battles. There aren't too many like tug of war style battles. You got the DB spot. You got the left guard spot. Does Bergeron come in and wrench it away from Hennessy?
Yeah.
And then outside of that, it's, yeah, that's about it, really.
You got like the rest of it is the typical, like when you, I'm not saying this is a good team. We don't know yet if it's a good team.
Right.
But when you see good teams, for example, Kansas City, okay, right. Just won the Super Bowl. They lost some guys, they signed some guys, they drafted some guys, what have you. But they pretty much know, like, on defense, you know, looking at their roster, like, okay, these guys are going to make it for sure. And then the camp is about the edge guys, those fringe guys that whether this guy or that guy or that guy or that guy makes it is totally dependent on how they play and how they perform and practice in training camp.
Right.
So from my perspective, when I look at it, we have the two, like you said, the DBs, left guard. That's kind of the – and the DBs, for the most part, like, we know all the guys that are going to be there. And really for left guard, the same way. We know the guys that are going to be there. We just don't know who's exactly going to be the starter.
Right. Yep.
That's more of a thing on the offensive line. You're going to have one starter. You're not going to rotate guys in on the offensive line. Mostly you won't.
Hopefully.
But – yeah, hopefully not. But on DBs, you can rotate guys in and out based on matchups, based on what kind of defense you're wanting to play, things like that. So that kind of stuff can be a little bit more fluid. But the rest of the team, like the offensive line is pretty much set outside of left guard. The wide receivers pretty much set in the top three or four guys. And then it's really a battle it's really a battle for like five and six, you know. And then tight end, there's not really a battle there. There's just no battles anywhere for, like, starting positions. There's battles for just being able to make the roster, which is awesome. And that's what you want. You want, like, your starters to know that, you know, we want to know who our starters are, but we want to know, like, can somebody come in and make a splash and make the team, and maybe over time he can become a starter, but you know, you want it to be the back of the rotation guys that are the ones that are fighting to get on the team.
Yes, I completely agree. Austin Douglas says, I also think Matt Collins will have a big year. People forget he's 6'4 with a 4.5 speed.
And people think 4.5 for some reason. People like look at a wide receiver. Oh, he didn't run a 4.4. He ran a 4.51, 4.52, whatever. And they're like, guys, we need some speed. Like 4.5 is fast.
Ridiculous. Yeah, yeah.
That is real fast. I mean, literally the difference between a guy running a 4.35 and a 4.45 or 4.55, we're talking about 21 hundredths of a second. That if you were watching it in real life, like the guys are basically going to be passing that finish line out at almost the exact same time.
Yeah, I mean, and also you got to remember, like, straight line speed versus, you know, like football speed is much, much different, you know, type deal. Like Dre asked, like, you know, what do Scotty Miller do that Oz couldn't do? Maybe more consistent about taking the top off. I don't know. Yeah. You know, we'll see.
That was weird because we would hear when we know, cause he did it sometimes, but we would see, all you heard about was like, this was the guy that was supposed to be the burner, but I didn't really see him like burning guys.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he ended up being more like a Russell Gage, like a contested catch, you know,
yeah,
like the scrappy kind of guy. So, you know, maybe Scotty Miller gives you that legitimate, like, take the top off.
Well, then you got somebody like Drake London, who just through technique, you know, he's not the fastest guy. He's probably running in that 4.5 range, you know, for on his 40. I can't remember what his 40 was, but it's not blazing speed.
They do it different ways. It's like,
but he torched N'Kobe Dean, who's like one of the fastest QBs in the league. And the only reason why N'Kobe Dean he didn't get that cash was because it was underthrown because Ritter was, I think he was under pressure or something.
I thought he was getting, like, I can't tend to agree with Millie Mills. I want to see what the hype is about with Ellis. Yeah. Ellis is one of the ones that I'm like, you know, the linebacker group in general, like, you're hanging a lot on a second year player and a guy who just had a breakout season. And that's the part that kind of worries me in a sense.
But those are the moves that when they pay off, that's the kind of thing that the good teams, that's what happens with good teams, is they spot the guys with the talent, and they know it, they give them the chance, they perform, and everybody's like, they're geniuses for doing it. But then some other team does the same thing, and it doesn't quite pan out. It's like, why didn't you bring in a vet, you know, a proven guy or whatever? So
we'll see. Willie Goff, we appreciate that greatly. He says, please no dumb fights. He says, please no dumb fights between O-line and D-line. No, I mean, you're going to have some, like, just like, keep it to shoving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't nobody
go swinging their helmet like a mace or anything like that.
Right. Let's not, unless you're Aaron Donald, but, you know, he's over here trying to beat people with Bengals helmets. So, Meyer says, who's going to be the starter for the edge rushers?
I think it's going to be
AK.
I think AK will probably be a starter. I think the other is probably going to be Bud Dupree. Well, it's either going to be, I don't think there's going to be technically a starter. If they have to name one, probably AK, but I think it's going to be, you know, Calais Campbell's going to be on one edge.
Right.
Then you're going to have AK, Bud Dupree.
I think you're going to have, like,
harder.
Yeah. Pressure looks like, you know, with Nielsen being the architect behind the, you know, pressures and blitzes and stuff like that from New Orleans, I think you're going to see more pressured looks, varied looks, and you're going to have different groups is kind of the way I see it. Like, if you have a potential NASCAR package of Grady and Calais and Lorenzo and AK, or, you know, maybe it's a deal where you have Bud Dupree, you know, AK, Grady, and Lorenzo, who knows, you know, yeah. Or so I think it's going to be interesting. Like, cause MJ says, you know, I think Caden Ellis will be rushing on third down. He's a good rusher. He is. So the question then becomes like, do they rely heavily, more heavily on a like nickel player with to be more of a, you know, coverage guy or more of a linebacker guy? So is your nickel player then somebody like a Jalen Hawkins or Trey Flowers, you know, somebody who's that like hybrid, like tweener, somebody between a linebacker and a, you know, a safety. Let's see. What did Dre say? What did you mean? You hit the same thing at the same time?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Says, I hope and pray and wish my boy, my dog, my man, Jalen the Ball Hawk Hawkins, at least makes the team as a backup, since he probably won't be a starter.
I mean, it's no guarantee. You know, there's much more competition now in that realm. I tend to think he will probably be there, you know, just in case, you know, something weird were to happen in the backfield and both our safeties get hurt. You got Hawkins and Flowers that can kind of jump in there if necessary. But I mean, DeMarco Hellam's like, the more I have watched and just hear the kid talk in the videos they've been doing where they started from the seventh round, and I guess they're making their way all the way to
right.
Hearing him talk, like, and watching him play and watching what guys, like the coaches have talked about him, like, this is a guy I think it might surprise some people.
I mean, like, I think, like, optimistically, I say he's the, like, first year he's a special teams demon, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
And maybe work his way up. But, hey, I could be completely wrong. Willie says, who is calling defensive plays, Nielsen or Gray? I think it's Nielsen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Nielsen.
I think Gray is mainly working with DBs and has assistant head coaching duties. Or like
they did the assistant head coaching thing to keep him like, so if somebody like they can deny him the ability to go and interview for defensive coordinator positions.
Yeah,
they didn't necessarily.
They didn't necessarily want him as the full-time DC for whatever reason, because they did interview him as the DC. But I think the idea was, just like you see a big movement with trying to get the next young up-and-coming offensive play caller, there is a certain aspect of wanting a like younger mind to combat the, you know, younger minded offenses, ones who may not be necessarily stuck in a certain way. So Nielsen represents that, but you're pairing him with a guy who has a ton of NFL experience in Jerry Gray. And you're also giving Gray that assistant head coach title, to, you know, help with the, hey, you may not necessarily be the coordinator, but we value your opinion. We value your experience, and we want you overseeing. I almost see him as like the defensive overseer, in a way. Like, yes, it's, you know, Nielsen's gig, but, you know, Gray's there as a sounding board, as somebody to bounce ideas off of,
who literally stole the words out of my mouth. Okay. I was thinking these exact same things. Like, he's a guy who's got that experience.
Yep.
And it's a good guy to bounce ideas off of, so that you can, you know, a guy doing this for the first time in his life, like not just putting together the defense, but then not having to do play calling and all that stuff. It's a good thing to have a guy with that experience as, you know, in the room with him.
Yep. I think King Seven and Wallace Smith are kind of alluding to the same thing. King Seven says, if the D-line is good, Ellis and Anderson will be good. And I agree with that sentiment. And Wallace says, what's going on, fellas? What's up, Wallace? He says, it all depends on the defensive front, if they're lining up to stop the run first. Right. So it's like, that's what I was talking about with the, you're going to have different packages. The defensive line is more about packages and what you're trying to create versus, you know, starters per se. I like how Willie's putting this here. He says Gray is Morpheus and Nielsen is Neo. That's a good way to look at it. Yep.
Like it.
Yeah. Everybody's agreeing with you on your Helms talk. You know, Ken Folk says Helms was like a fifth round grade and we got a steal. I think so. Like, he's one of those guys who in a few years we could easily be talking about, like, man, I can't believe, like a Grady Jarrett. You know, we got Grady in the fifth round, and he's turned into such a stalwart.
Like, I could see in a couple years, potentially, you're having to think about, are you going to pay Grant, you know, maybe in a year.
Who knows?
And if Helms is a guy that you feel comfortable moving into that spot, and then you got a guy who, you know, is probably a little bit more comfortable than maybe a Grant is playing a deep safety kind of situation. And that frees up Bates to be a little bit, you know, in more places than
I think
middle.
I think I have to agree with Austin Douglas here. I know it's going to hurt Dre Murphy's feelings. He says, I like Helms in a big nickel look with Jesse Bates and Richie Grant. I think Helms may take Hawkins' spot. I think there's a real good chance. I think Richie Grant, with having Jesse Bates back there, Richie Grant will be like more freed up to come into his own in a sense. Yeah. And I think what you may end up having is this scenario, which Dre says, Austin, don't say that, bro. but I think, like, maybe not this year, but I think the presence of Helms may make it easier to let a Hawkins walk, you know, into free agency, because you can't pay everybody, you know. So it's kind of funny that you bring up Taquan Graham, Mayers, is the four DTs are rooming together, according to Calais. So it's Calais, Grady, Onyemata, and Graham.
That better be a big room.
That better be a big. I was thinking about that. Those are supposedly dorms. I've seen those buildings. That better be a big room.
Yeah. That better be like the suite at that, in that dorm room or something.
Because I don't know how you. That's four large individuals that you're piling into. Maybe it's like
technically with Calais Campbell, it's actually five individuals.
Okay.
I mean,
but yeah, I think the, you know, that is a very big room. But yeah, there's the defensive line is an interesting thing to think about. Cause like you start going down, oh, Campbell and Grady and Onyemata, then you quickly forget about Goldman and Graham and Timmy Horn. And there's a couple other guys who I have already forgotten.
Yeah.
But, you know, the depth guys who may not even make the team. So there's one that's like, he's got like an Italian name.
I have to look up the roster.
Anyway, it's not that big a deal. Ken says he thinks it's 1,500 square feet. Yeah, that one is bigger than my house.
I know, that's what I was going to say. If it's 1,500 square foot, that's probably okay. And that's about the size of my house.
Yeah, a little bit bigger than my abode, and that could fit four of those gentlemen somewhat comfortably. They would have to, they'd be a little cramped, but you know, they'd be doing all right there.
Yeah.
Oh man. Let's see. All right. Let's see. Okay. Well, Millie Mills says, JR, I got big expectations for Troy Anderson. I just want to see if he can take that step or not. Yeah, that is one absolutely. Of the, like somebody called him T-1000 earlier in the chat, and I thought that was a good name for him.
Yeah, he's a guy that, again, I think we've heard from Nielsen, like this guy's name has popped out of Nielsen's mouth. I can't remember if it was totally unsolicited or not, but he's talked about it, and I have to have a feeling that with what Nielsen knows of Ellis and his impressions of Troy Anderson to this point, possibly even Michael Walker's, you know, whatever impressions he's gotten off of him. I have to believe that when they looked at the roster as a whole going into free agency, trying to figure out who to go after, who to draft, all these things, and the fact that we didn't really do hardly anything at linebacker that I can think of.
Not really.
There has to be something there that, like, I'm okay with these guys, and so we don't have to worry about spending a ton of money here. We can go spend that elsewhere. Like, I have to believe they feel like they have something.
Yeah, they've got to.
That's my thoughts.
Right. Then also, I guess they have, like, in case of emergency, break glass that Rashawn Evans is still sitting out there. But I got to feel like, you know, Austin says Troy Anderson will be a monster this year. It was Dre Murphy who called him Troy Anderson T-1000, which I if he takes off, Dre, I'm going to be helping you coin that. Let's just put it that way. I won't take it from you, but I'm definitely going to help coin it for you. Gaziano was the defensive tackle. Chris says I believe it was a guy from Northwestern.
That just reminds me of Tony Graziano, the old backup quarterback for the Falcons way back in the day when Vic was still here.
I told you that was an Italian name. Okay, so King says, what if our defense dominates in training camp? Do we get excited or do we fear for our offense because the defense is basically new? Offense is same other than Bijan and Holland. That's always the thing, right? Like, which one generally starts out behind? The defense tends to start out behind, right?
No, it's the offense that starts out behind. Defense tends to be a little bit better earlier in the season simply because a lot of it, you know, you can kind of sort of mess up a little bit, but there's so much is down to timing with the offense. So, you know, it takes a little while to get everybody kind of timed up right. But once they do, that's when the offense catches up. So, you know, that's how it generally works out. But sometimes it doesn't. It goes both ways, too. So.
Robert Daniels, I'm a Joe Gaziano.
Zach Harrison.
Right. That's the part that made me put this up there. It's like Joe Gaziano, Timmy Horn. We haven't talked at all tonight about Zach Harrison, who is on there. Eddie Goldman, must be roommates. <Talk about that. laughs> That's a good problem to have. Now, we haven't had that problem the past 2 years. So it's going to be interesting. Does Vrabel make the team? It depends on how much Mike is paying Arthur Smith. If it's one of those, like, hey man, just keep my kid busy for a little while kind of deal, maybe Vrabel does make the team. There's somebody in here, I think it's Tony Wright, who is high on Vrabel as a potential swing tackle. You're a little late on that one, Tony. We talked about that at the top of the hour with the Justin Herbert.
Tony, if you got some like figures on like
guarantees, he gets over $100 million this year. That's the highest for any calendar year for any quarterback. He gets over $100 million in this calendar year, which I was like, that's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So they ain't even trying to spread it out, which it's not a bad play, really. Like, I've often thought, like, if we were to, like, say you got team control of Ritter for another 3 years plus a franchise year, right? So let's say 4 years. Right now, this year is the time to sign AJ Terrell. And if you were to front load that contract to get the majority of it out of the way before you do sign Ritter. Like, playing those kind of cap numbers are very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, balancing that stuff back and forth is always a fun and interesting endeavor. Let's see. Yeah, I agree with Kings. He says Burrow's contract is going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts. There's been
they might even try to do like a Bobby Bonilla situation where like we'll just keep paying you for like 30 years.
Right.
We'll pay you like a neck, you know, every year on this day, you'll get a check from us for like $1 million.
Yep.
Or whatever it is, and just be like, we're gonna sign you for $500 million.
I have heard like one of the things that keeps getting floated around with Burrow is the concept that he gets a percentage of the cap and not a hard number, but that he gets like 12% of the cap. So every year that the cap goes up, his contract would go up. And I had thought that that was a, could be an interesting situation. You know, an interesting way to, you know, pay the quarterback. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because then you could do stuff like, okay, we'll give you as a starting quarterback, we'll give you, let's say 5%, just pick a number, whatever it is. And it could be lower than what you think that, you know, maybe it should be. But if it's thinking from a long-term perspective, right, and if you're looking at like, where do you believe that the league is going to be in the next 5 years, that 5% this year would have, you know, basically turns into 10 or even 15% a couple of years down the road, because, you know, the equivalent of that a 15% that first year. So like the numbers could go up, and even if you stink, you know, still, your numbers still go up.
Chris says that's two mentions from former Oregon QB not named Mariota. Well done, guys. We're watching out for you, Chris. Doing what we can, brother. Quentin says, is the Falcons team similar to the 49ers team? Because we have versatile offense and a good defense. The good defense is still remains to be seen. But yes, if you want to get real technical, and I'm not ain't trying to like say one thing or the other, you could take this how you want to. But Deebo Samuel did not start getting used in the backfield like he was until Cordell Patterson came here to Atlanta and was being used the way he was being used. So there's a part of me that says, like, you know, but they all copy each other, right? Again, I go back to that Play Callers podcast, those five episodes, just because it was centered around Shanahan, LaFleur, Staley, and Mike Daniels, and Sean McVay. Those guys all came from the same tree, basically, the same, like, think tank.
Yeah.
Part of that think tank for a while in Tennessee was Arthur Smith. Like, he was in the same room with LaFleur. Now, he takes a little bit more of his, like, style from Malarkey, who was there for a lot longer. But they all, like, learned from Joe Gibbs, all of them.
Yep.
So they all.
Yeah, you go back to, like, Mike Shanahan.
Right.
Like the dad, that's who he learned under.
That's what I'm saying. And they all learn. So yes, they are similar in styles. I don't know. It remains to be seen if Arthur is the same caliber of play caller that Shanahan is and McVay to an extent, but it'd be hard pressed for anybody to be on that level. I'll still say
like one of the most impressive things I've ever seen from a play calling perspective was, and I have to believe at some point, maybe somebody did, and we just never noticed it. But the way McVay, especially early in Goff's career, this is before they got Stafford, so they still had Goff, and they would like literally just call a formation, get him out there super quick, get him lined up, get the defense lined up, but they still had way more than like 15 seconds left on the clock. And he would sit there, the coach would sit there, look at the defense, read it, and then tell the quarterback what to do, what to watch out for.
That was McVay.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like watching McVay do that. And I saw a lot of people were like, oh, they need to change the rules. That's like cheating, you know, whatever. I was like, no, that's like, I mean, it's no different than you calling a play And you know, to your quarterback, you know, this is just you reading the defense, like getting an advantage within the rules and saying like, I'm going to read this defense and I'm going to tell my quarterback exactly what I want to see, you know, what he should be looking out for. Here's the play we're going to run, yada, yada, yada. And I think that's, especially for young guys coming out of college.
Well, the problem ended up being, and if they hit on that in that Play Callers podcast, they talked about that. Yeah. And what the problem ended up being was what the way Fangio like runs the defense. Like, so basically in the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl against the Patriots, Bill Belichick redid their entire like defense to mimic the Fangio defense, because that year, one of the only teams that really shut down the Rams was, I think it was Denver. Anyway, it was a Fangio run team.
Yeah.
And one of the Fangio's big things is post snap rotation.
Yep.
Like, I might be getting into the weeds for y'all here, but like showing the defense, showing one thing, and when the quarterback turns his back on a play action, by the time he turns back around, the defense is in a completely different look. And it left at that point in time, McVay can't talk to him no more. And that left Goff on an island.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, Goff ended up getting exposed.
Well, yeah, and especially if you're not expecting that style of defense to show up.
Right.
But that's why I'll still, to this day, no matter what, no matter if he doesn't win another Super Bowl without Tom Brady, Bill Belichick is one of the best coaches I've ever seen. Whether we're talking defense, offense, I've seen that guy
in a week.
I've seen that team win in so many different ways, week to week, season to season. Good, you know, amazing wide receivers, no wide receivers, amazing running backs, no running backs.
Their
offense, the offensive line, and the one thing that has been constant. They generally, by and large, have one of, if not the best, offensive line in football. And they generally have one of the better defensive lines in football.
Yep.
Year in and year out, no matter what. So everything around them changes. Those things stay constant.
Willie asked a good question. He says, does Ogundeji make the team?
Mm.
It's going to be interesting because, where does he fit? You know, Bubba says like Ogundeji's linebacker depth. Do they see him as a linebacker? Do they see him as like an edge? Like, he kind of had a down year last year after hitting the, now granted, he's on a rookie contract, so he ain't costing you a ton of money, but still, you know, if like at some point in time, it does become a numbers game. And so, you know, Millie seems to think that he might get cut. I mean,
that's a possibility.
Yeah, you know, they could try to stash him on the practice squad. You know, for a year, who knows? All right. Before we start wrapping it up, I wanted to bring this back up again for some of the people who may not have been here earlier when I showed it. Just to let y'all know, we will be having a meet and greet this August I'm trying to get this thing out of the way. Where's it at? Why am I? There it is. Go away. Thank you. All right. Sometimes my brain does not like me. All right. Anyway, so we're going to be having a meet and greet at the Taco Mac in Marietta off of Bear Parkway and Dallas Highway. There is the address right there. 7 p.m. on the 19th of August. It won't be just me and Jonathan. It will be a lot of your favorite content creators, from Twisted Torch to Big Low to Out of Your Falcon Mind. Smitty Sports Machine will be there. Also, Ronnie Fleek representing New Millennium Falcon, and Steve from Uncle Steve's Lounge. So come by, grab a drink, chop it up with us, eat some wings, just like talk some football. By then we'll have some preseason games to talk about. We'll have training camps to really talk about. So something that we absolutely look forward to and hope that y'all decide if you're within the area. Like, I don't expect Jeff from South Korea to hop on a plane and show up in Marietta. But, that would be insanity.
Yeah, that would be crazy. It might also be considered AWOL at that point, too.
Maybe. I don't know what, you know, might be. could have leave. I don't know what his leave situation is. But no, it is a, it would be awesome to like shake some of y'all's hand, whether it be at this meetup, whether it be at training camp on Saturday, if they do a salute to service style practice at the bins in August, we'll probably be at that as well. Chris says, Jeff and I are flying in together.
Nice.
There he is. Jeff, yes. But yeah. But yeah, like I said, we would love the opportunity to, you know, shake your hand, say hello, tell you Absolutely. Thank you, and just in general, hang out and chop it up. Well, I think that's about all we got for you today, really. Like I said, training camp is just getting underway. Depending on what goes on, we'll definitely have something on Saturday. Yes. Might be a live, depending. My wife has been absolutely gracious for allowing me to sit here today because today is her birthday. So,
happy birthday, Jamie.
That's right. That's right. Which is awesome of her, but I'll take her out to dinner tomorrow night and maybe do some other things. So who knows what else we might get into. We might see y'all again before Saturday, but definitely should see y'all Saturday. If not live, then a recorded video. As always, y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grimm1128. That's GRIMM1128. Jonathan?
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by and say hi.
That's right. Like I said, just keep your eye on the channel as we are always posting stuff. And thank you again for your support. As always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.